RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
It's Wednesday morning, which means Legal Hub here at RCR. We get the finest legal minds on this program, and it's popular. Fancy that, a legal program that's popular. I want to welcome for the first time, though we have met before, onto Legal Hub, Mary Nelson, who was admitted to the bar in 2008 as a lawyer. She specializes in representing businesses, trusts, partnerships, and individual taxpayers who found themselves in the awkward position of disputing unpaid tax and penalties with the Inland Revenue Department. And the firm is Crawford Nelson and Mary Nelson as well. Hi, Mary. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I think we met at a Christmas party or something.
We did meet at a Christmas party. It was an incredibly fun night, as a matter of fact. I had a very good time, and you rode off in the middle of the night on a scooter.
That's right. I think I turned up with Rodney Hyde on the scooter as well. He had the time of his life, by the way. I had to persuade him, and then after he got running, he was just like zipping, you know, zigzagging, and like being a kid again, actually.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen was all of you guys taking off on your scooters. It could have been as late as or as early as 2:30 a.m.
Oh, it was something like that. Anyway, we all made it home, or to wherever we were at the time. Okay, I remember chatting with you about IRD back then, actually. And I've referenced a couple of things that you told me then in other chats here at RCR when it's come up. And that was the whole new software system or infrastructure that was put into IRD. What, about 5 years ago now, or is it a bit more than that?
No, it started about 5 years ago, and it was called the Business Transformation. And it's the most extraordinary piece of software. It costs, I was looking at it today, it costs $1.8 billion.
That's right. I remember the price tag at the time was massively high, huge.
Massively high. It was installed. I think everything happened at the right time that it was supposed to happen. And some of the things, the reason I got interested about it, particularly right now, is because last week I was talking to an IRD officer, and the IRD officer said something to me about data mining. Have you ever heard data mining?
Well, I know what it is. Yeah, I know what it is. It's like mining, digging for data.
Yeah. So it's extraordinary. And so then I started looking at the business transformation, and then it's things like, you know, the previous software that IRD had was all internal, whereas now this has business partners. It doesn't say anywhere who the business partners are, but obviously it would be the software developers. But when the guy said about data mining, and I thought about all the information that people upload into my IR, like if you're a company, you're going to be uploading your financials every time you put in a GST return, all of that sort of stuff is there. And so previously, I'm sure IRD still used benchmarking, but they had something, they had benchmarking. So an example is a cafe, you would expect their rent to be around, well, it should be 10% of their turnover. Or so maybe you'd set the margins like, say, 5 to 25%. And then in your, if you're mining for data, you would think, right, whose rent is higher than that or lower than that? And then what, so it's just, that's just an example of what they can do. And then today I've just been talking to an accountant, and because the other thing is that IRD have been given all these new directives, is what they call them, and which is chasing hard on debt. And one thing is that the accountant said to me that their IRD person said that they will be quicker to go to audit from a risk review. So a risk review would be if you're filing your GST online and you are about to submit, and then you think to yourself, oh gosh, that's right, I just bought this big item and that's not in my return. And so that's going to either give you a refund or it's going to reduce the amount of GST you have to pay. Well, that alteration in your GST return could possibly go through to a human being who'll look at you they'll look at it and they'll think, now, why did that person do that? And so you'll get a risk review letter that says, Dear Mary, can you please provide the working papers for the GS2 return that you've just filed? And I don't know why they're sending me the risk review letter, but I do know that when I changed my GST return, it's put a red flag up, and it might look like I'm trying to, you know, get myself a beneficial, you know, make some money, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what these systems are capable of doing. And so the idea that you can go from risk review to audit a lot quicker is telling me that this fabulous business transformation, $1.8 billion worth of software, is able to mine data a lot faster and give Inland Revenue a lot more information that previously they would have had.
Is there anything fundamentally wrong with that, though? Because, you know, we want it to be fair, and that includes people not getting away with, you know, tweaking things, let me put it that way.
Oh, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all in one sense because, you know, like I pay my tax on time. I'm sure that you do. And we really don't have much choice. But I think where it is when, like, people often say with data or, you know, social media, like, I've got nothing to hide. But they could have made a little mistake that they didn't realise. Like, for instance, they might put a GST refund in as income or, you know, they could just something really simple and straightforward, but they could have been making lots of little mistakes all the way along the line. Mm. And this one red flag pulls up a whole bunch of errors that you didn't realize were being made. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose, but gosh, it can end up being a nightmare if you.
Yeah, yeah. It's reminding me of a scene in an old movie. I think it was the movie Brazil or Boys from Brazil, one or the other. And they had this, you know, great kind of intelligence operation going on with telex machines belting out because it was set back in that day. And a fly got in the way of one of the, you know, the arms that stamped the letter, and it stamped another letter and it spelt a name differently. And next thing the poor person knows, who's been subject to this error, you know, they've got the police and the heavies turning up at the door. You know, it kind of was just an inadvertent mistake.
Yeah.
But it led to this world of crap for this person in the movie. It's reminding me of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. What I would not like to see is I wouldn't like to see any IRD officers actually misusing this power.
Yeah.
Because the other thing I would say is that if you get a risk review letter from Inland Revenue saying, can you please send us all your bank statements, I'm fairly confident they already have them.
So why would they be asking for them if they already had them, do you think?
Just to see
how honest you are with what you front up with.
Yes. Sometimes it feels like a game of cat and mouse. I have one particular case at present which feels like it's about to morph into something quite spectacular. And I know that the case officer has all the information that is being requested. And I tell that to my client. And it's interesting dealing with IRD and with a client when they have different agendas, actually.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a can be quite tricky, but yeah, I would just make an assumption that IRD, when they're asking for information, probably already have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can assume that. All right. Tell me, what is your impression of the people who are at the front line of IRD? I've had dealings with them before, and quite some years ago, and I found the person I dealt with, you know, very professional and understanding and all those things. I was actually quite impressed, I'd have to say. But we're going back about 12, 13, maybe even 15 years now. Gosh, it's so long ago. I'm wondering what it's like now. Did I just get lucky? Was that a one-off? I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's just because you're a nice guy. But actually, See, I worked at Inland Revenue from 2008 to 2013, and that's when IRD was being nice to people. But before that, there had been some terrible situations where people had committed suicide. Yeah. Because Inland Revenue was being particularly, because their directive back then was, you know, collect every single cent of tax. And then that, actually there was an amendment to the Tax Administration Act in 1996 that said IRD doesn't have to collect every cent, you know, a care and management thing. So it was, maybe it was around about then. Anyway, they had a lot of terrible things happen. So they became a lot more pleasant to deal with, and there was a lot of really good training on how to deal with people and things. But what I have noticed is since the middle of last year, they have completely changed. And
Feels
like they are back to what they were like when they were being difficult. And so the old, well, actually, some people I'm sure are very close to doing all sorts of awful things at present, but it just doesn't wear. And actually, I had one client who had a horribly aggressive form of cancer, and the dead officer said to me, other people with cancer pay the tax. Oh. And that is actually a true reality, they do. So, but they are being very, and just the fact that they are being told to, well, another thing would be is, until a few months ago, if you had an accountant or a lawyer that was acting on your behalf for Inland Revenue, then the case officer will call that person. But a couple of weeks ago, they put out a notice to say that actually now, even if you have a case off, even if you have an accountant or a lawyer, we're going to contact the taxpayers directly.
Okay.
So little thing, but actually that's a good thing, because sometimes people have really bad accountants and really bad lawyers and they don't know that they're in a world of grief. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm wondering too, post-COVID, the government probably needs to pull in every cent it can. And we've had people on the station last year anyway, talking about how they'd been kind of heavied into paying back COVID money that they got. And one particular case, you know, he had to fold his business for it, and he thought the language around the applying for those funds and the criteria was very loose and ambiguous. Do you think we're starting to see a sort of like the ripple effect of that really rolling through now?
Absolutely. They're not free money. Like, first of all, an interesting thing was that some people actually made a lot more money during the COVID than they normally would have made. And one example was Uber drivers. Okay. So Uber drivers, they were getting the resurgence payment and they were getting the COVID wage subsidy. And what happened when IRD went back to being, you know, maintaining business instead of, you know, handing out crazy amounts of money, Uber drivers were one industry that was targeted. So to be entitled to the resurgence payment, you actually had to be available to work. And to be available to work, you have to have your Uber app on. So if your Uber app wasn't on, you weren't available to work, so you weren't entitled to the resurgence payment. And that was a really easy way that all these Uber drivers got caught and have had to pay it back because their apps weren't on. And I also, like, who would have thought that being a, well, I can see how people made that mistake, but they also were making, I think one of the resurgence pay, was it $4,000 a week? It was a lot of money. So some people were making, you know, serious good money. But then I heard the person, one of the people you had on, about the wage subsidy, I think that they were just far too quick to hand it out. There wasn't enough checks and balances. People were nervous, and it got paid immediately into your bank account, and then people wouldn't have turned their minds to it. So I think some of the way that IRD have been chasing these have actually been poor management.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it was a very hurried thing, and you should never be ambiguous about these things in your description of criteria and qualification for something like that. It should be as sharp and clear as possible. Surely, even in a tough situation, tense, fearful, I guess it was, situation.
I have a lot of opinions on that, Mr. Brennan.
Okay, we all do.
Well, it's interesting looking at, because every country handed out a lot of crazy money and they're all collecting on it. And I often hear you say things like countries are in lockstep. Well, they are as far as tax collection goes as well. I think that a lot of different countries' revenue departments have, because during COVID, they actually didn't chase anyone. Literally all my cases were shut. I got emails from all the different case officers saying we won't be pursuing anything for the next wee while, and you know, some cases were for over a year. And the thing about that is that your debt is still there if it's a tax debt situation. The use of money interest is still accruing. The penalties are still accruing, and suddenly it's 2 years later and your debt has gone up considerably because IRD went chasing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know who you blame for that, the taxpayer, or do you blame the revenue?
Well, you could take advantage of that if you are the revenue, because you can pull more funds in.
Yeah. But also another way that, like, I do a lot of the company liquidations, and I have a client who has sold, who is selling a house, and it was supposed to go unconditional today, and the next liquidation hearing is this Thursday. So I emailed the Inland Revenue case officer and I said, I haven't heard if it's gone unconditional, but I know it's supposed to go unconditional today. And her reply is, and there's enough equity in this property to pay the whole tax debt. Her reply was, well, if it hasn't gone unconditional, then we'll be proceeding to liquidate the company. And I thought, what an interesting response. Because it might go unconditional. Well, it actually, as it turned out, it actually has gone unconditional. So I've emailed her and let her know that. But I thought, you know, that there is an opportunity for Inland Revenue to get what is around about $400,000 or $500,000. And instead, they're going to liquidate the company.
Yeah, that's not productive at all. That doesn't help anyone.
Because it doesn't have any assets. The official assignee would be the liquidator. And maybe they're just trying to clear debt off the book. But I was surprised by that.
And it's a contracting economy. I think biggest number of business failures back in May since... when was it? The global financial crisis. It might have even been before that, in the, you know, back in the day. Anyway, so the economy is contracting, makes it even harder to get blood out of a stone, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's just, I would think, because you just have to walk through any town or any suburb, and except for St. Helier's in Auckland, which is a boom town. But most other places, like I was driving through Onehunga the other day and it looked like every second store was shut. And for every shop that is shut, there was a business, there is a person, there is maybe employees. And I feel like Inland Revenue are being very quick right now to shut a business down instead of trying to work and see if there's some way to, you know, work with people. It's definitely a lot harder getting proposals across the line. But one thing is that once upon a time, not that you want to be paying off a tax debt to IRD for 5 years, but another change is that previously Inland Revenue would allow 3 years for an instalment arrangement to pay off a tax debt. And now, recently, in the last couple of months, I've been extending it out to some people for 5 years.
Okay. Well, that must be recognition of what we're just talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary, what's your advice to anyone who's got a problem with tax right now? What do they do?
Definitely be proactive in dealing with Inland Revenue. Make sure that you read your letters in MyIR, and when you see something, respond to it. If you have there's different ways of dealing with tax debt. You can enter into installment arrangements. You can get parts of them. Penalties is always an, you know, relatively straightforward thing to get written off. You can get, there's different ways of places that you can go to borrow money, but definitely be proactive. And it is, when you are getting letters from Inland Revenue, I would definitely recommend getting professional advice, because like it's easy to make mistakes. Like if you say to Inland Revenue, well, your PA wasn't paid for your employees, which is a crime actually, and you go, well, yes, I know I was supposed to pay it, but I had to pay my rent instead. Well, you straight away, you've admitted to tax evasion, because you knew you had to pay it, but you didn't. And you had the money, but you spent. So it's just being careful on how you answer questions to Inland Revenue. And people will always say, I have nothing to hide. And actually, most people do have nothing to hide. But I think the IRD default position might be that everyone tells lies.
Yeah.
So just be careful. It's always, if you're doing your own taxes, make sure you've got a chartered accountant. You got to watch. There's tax agents who are very, very good, but anyone can be a tax agent. You just have to apply and do a course with Inland Revenue, and then you can start filing people's tax returns. If you get a letter saying come in for an interview, you straight away really want to ring a lawyer and talk to them about that, because that's serious business when they want to meet you, because they don't want to meet people.
No, they don't want to go and have just a nice cup of coffee and a scone, do they? So do you find that once you kind of work on these cases, you don't have to give anything away here or anything, you don't even have to answer this, but that, you know, you can pretty well fix things generally?
Yeah. Yes, I normally can fix things. It's by, you've got to work out things that someone, if they have an issue with Inland Revenue, the moment they start dealing with them, the first thing they have to be able to do is file and pay any taxes on time moving forward. And actually, if they can't afford to file and pay, then they will pay. Then they, obviously there's solvency issues, and maybe they want to be talking to a liquidator, you know, as well. Yeah, there's so many ways. There's always these people out there that will have funding. There's way of leveraging. There's all sorts of ways of cutting deals of Inland Revenue. And actually, mostly they're really responsive.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So it's a different environment in terms of technology now. People need to be aware of that. They need to be aware when they use my IRD that all the keystrokes, all the mouse movements, everything are tracked?
Every single thing, everything, every message that you wrote and deleted is still right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I suppose there's AI behind the scenes at 1.8 billion, you'd expect. So the system would be very quick at looking for any inconsistencies or anything outside the normal that they've sort of programmed in, I would imagine.
Oh, I you know what? I think it would just be so interesting to go and work at Inland Revenue and have a look at their computer software and what they can do.
Hmm. We know who the provider of the software is, do we? The software company?
I've got no idea. When I was looking, so I had a bit of a search around today and I couldn't find it, but I'm actually going to have a look, a deeper look into it, because when they talk about things like partner sharing, that was the other thing. Are they linked to, because IRD is very quick to get information from customs.
Okay.
So if you've been going on lots of holidays, rest assured that IRD already know that they will have your customs records. So there's that thing. Do they link to the police? I expect so, because they all seem to, tax evasion has become a proceed of crime as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But also that was the outside providers, because I was listening to the card that they've got in India, and I've forgotten what it was called, and about how that got hacked. And there was 1.9 billion. It was on one of your show, I think. And that's what I thought about with, as far as software, could it be hacked?
Yeah, and the lockstep thing. I wonder if they're all using basically the same system, countries.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because from the research I did, it looks like this is a whole new thing for New Zealand, and like a test case. And we have things like there's the automatic exchange of information. where countries automatically, if you have a rental property in Australia, IRD might send you a letter saying, oh, do you have anything that you want to tell us about in Australia? So there's that. And then there's something called the Common Reporting Standards as well. So there's a lot of information sharing. And actually, when I look at the automatic exchange of information, it looks like almost every country in the world has signed up for it. And it's similar to the AML law that you have to sign up for it, because if you don't sign up for it, then it damages your country brand, because other countries will be told that, you know, you're not so good to deal with because you aren't in the reporting standards and sharing information.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was really interesting.
You think?
I think so.
I think it's fascinating. I get excited about it.
It's really where the rubber hits the road, though, isn't it? In a society, it's you know, the revenue, the tax. That's where it can get pretty raw.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, today I was heard somewhere that City Rail Link that never happened and it cost some insane amount of money. And 62 different engineering companies were paid $60 million each to do the plans. And not a single anything was done. And, like, who chooses where our money is spent?
Yeah, well, that's a question we ask quite a bit. When we see these massive expenditures and nothing is built. There's nothing there. So, yeah, good question.
Consultants. Every year, the wazoo.
Ching, ching. Presumably, though, they do their tax returns.
Yeah, well, they get a really good income. So they'd be returning quite a bit of tax as well.
Yeah, but it all came from the same place anyway.
Yeah, me and you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mary Nelson.
Such a pleasure, Paul Brennan.
Well, thank you for coming on. And I think that was, like I say, really interesting, great information. You've told people what they need to do if they have a problem. So we've covered that. And, well, let's see how we go through this year and next, because if it gets tighter and tighter, I guess the need, the hunger for the revenue will become more and more.
Yeah, well, I think there are some points where people need to have a little bit of pushback, to be perfectly honest. You know, okay. If they're going to be stupid with how they spend our money, then we really should be having more of a say. I don't know on earth how that could ever happen, but the last few years has been frustrating to see where our tax dollars were going.
Yeah, into a black hole, it seems, in many cases.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so have you got a website for your firm, just so people who are curious can go, because that's fair enough. You gave us your time, so we can,
Thank you very much. It should be crawfordnelson.nz.
All right.
Look at me. What's my website? I don't know.
Ask IRD, Mary. They'll know. They'll know.
Google tax lawyer, I seem to come up, because I've got a really good Google Ads guy, to be honest. That might be my extraordinary skills. But, Crawford Nelson.
All right. Okay, tax lawyer Mary Nelson, thank you for coming on Legal Hub.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's been great.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.